Turn with me this morning to 2 Peter, last chapter, chapter 3. Of course, Peter deals with apostasy, false teaching, as does the book of Jude. Appreciate your prayers for our daughter and her family. They flew from Amore to Tokyo to Dallas to Washington, D.C. They arrived safely after a brief 26-hour trip with five children, and they were all in one piece. So we appreciate your prayers for them. They'll be up here with us at some point in another 2 or 3 weeks, and they'll be reporting to the church the last Sunday of this next month. 2 Peter chapter 3. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of these, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. These scoffers are skeptics. They're not just unbelievers. They have animosity. They say things against those that are believers. So he said, in the last days, whenever those last days are, it was beyond the time this was written. He wasn't talking about the present time, but some future time. This is what's going to happen. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Obviously referring to the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So you see the similarities between the flood and this end time. It's going to be very similar. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This 2,000-year-old prophecy describes the scoffers, the skeptics that prevail today. This is what we hear in our culture worldwide. We hear this. It's clear he's not writing about something that existed, but something that was coming, something that would be future, somewhere in the future, though he's not specific when. But we could say that this prophecy began to be fulfilled in the 1800s because of some of the teaching worldwide, and particularly through Europe and modern Western civilization. The humanist, modernist movement came from that period of time. Many false cults were derived from that 1800 era, the middle 1800s. And there has been an explosion of skepticism in our colleges, even theological seminaries, like did not exist for almost 2,000 years. Something changed in the early 1800s and 1900s, in the 19th and 20th century. The thing that has come about that is new in the last 200 or so years is we call sometimes modernism. It's a new critical analysis of Scripture, humanism. which is without reference to God, that we just live our life like we are. You die like a dog, basically. You came from some descendancy, we don't know where. And then, of course, evolution, which came out of the 1800s, that man evolved and derived from some lower life form and developed into so-called intelligent people today. So there are a number of things of agnosticism, communism, and philosophy similar to that that have been derived during the last 200 years that did not exist. Now, there were some things that existed. False teaching, Gnosticism was prevalent in this early day. But the idea of these kind of skeptics and scoffers, there was a period of time starting again about 200 years ago where the mindset of people, as I read in history, and I believe it to be true, that people thought medicine was going to be so advanced that there would be no more disease. We would wipe it all out. That people would get degrees from college and they couldn't be any higher, more highly educated. They're so smart that anyone who had a PhD, you'd think, oh, they know everything. Well, they don't know everything. I can tell you this, I know something they don't know. I can slaughter a pig. I'll bet they can't do that. They don't know everything. In fact, very often people have a PhD, know one thing, and they know it very well. And they've studied thoroughly one subject, but they may not know how to come out of the rain and be struck by lightning. They may not know a lot of things, but people had the idea they know everything. And for a number of years, pastors or religious leaders had the idea that somehow we had to make the Bible adapt to science, and that we had to figure out some way to keep up with science and make sure that we still hold on to the Bible, but still we have to understand that there is this science. And out of that came something called theistic evolution, that evolution happened, but it happened according, the Bible can fit into there and happen over a period of time. But they were trying to make the Bible fit into the evolutionary theory. Now, I talked about this recently, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but remember, evolution is a theory. It is a theory. Now, a theory means it's not proven. It is an unproven theory. But for 150 years, it has been taught as fact. Now, that alone is dishonest. People do not want to give account to a holy God. So all of these things have developed in the last 200 years, and you might say, based upon that, we certainly are living in the last days. He said, in the last days, this is what's going to happen. So perhaps in the last 200 or so years, we are in the last days, and maybe toward the end of the last days. I read an interesting article this week that Bob Jones University began in something like 1920s, early 25 or something like that. And it began, because I knew it started as a liberal arts college, but when it began, the reason it started was because of the infiltration of the skeptics in our universities. And as Bob Jones Sr. was go around the country, parents would say, what can we do? Our children went to state university and they no longer have faith in God. Their faith is destroyed by these skeptics and their false teaching. What can we do? And the reason they started it, in fact, William Jennings Bryan, who became pretty involved religiously, even though a Democrat, he became pretty involved and was at a revival meeting. He leaned over to Bob Jones. He said, if we don't do something, our country is going to become a country of atheists. That was in 1925. That, for those that are not good at math, that was almost 100 years ago. It hasn't gotten better. That is what's happening. Amen. And we are turning out young people who have no faith in God, it's been destroyed by the false teaching and philosophy of skeptics and scoffers in state and in high school, secondary, even elementary schools of our day. That's where we are. He said that, go back with me to verse 4, 2 Peter 3 and verse 4. It says, in saying, where's the promise of his coming? So they're skeptical, or perhaps scoffing at it. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly, notice that word willingly. You might substitute the word stubbornly, which is very similar to, well, it is what it's saying. They willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with the water, perished. So they are willingly ignorant of the idea of a worldwide flood that the Bible teaches. They are willingly ignorant of the Bible itself. When they deny the flood or deny any part of the Bible, you might as well deny it all. You can't take away part of it because it claims inspiration. It claims to be all the Word of God. So as they say, oh, there's no such thing as a worldwide flood, we see that prophecy, or we see that philosophy being developed throughout so-called higher institutions of learning. In the late 1800s, there was a man called Charles Lyell. He taught the view that the Earth's strata was laid down over millions of years and that there was no global flood. Professors did not advance students who held to a biblical view of the flood, and they branded them as illiterate thinkers not worthy of an academic degree. This happened 200 years ago. Darwin followed his teachings. They said, there's no such thing. Prior to that, prior to the 1800s, no one taught such nonsense. Prior to that, they believed the Bible, and they believed the Bible's teaching that there was a flood. So something happened. Something infiltrated. They were scoffers or skeptics. They were progressive in their scoffing and skepticism. They were going after people, and they were ridiculing them because it worked. People felt like, oh, they're a PhD. They have all this training. But there's a lot of things a PhD doesn't know. Just to have letters after your name does not make you an authority on everything, and certainly not life. You see, the problem was they willingly rejected the Word of God, willingly rejected the idea of the flood. Prior to the 19th century, it was generally believed, even by scientists, that God created the world and that there was a worldwide flood. It changed in the early 1800s. By the 19th century, the evolutionary view had taken control of our public schools and is clearly the fulfillment of the last days. I mean, it says this would happen in the latter times, and it's happening. I mean, nothing could be clearer than that. That's what's going on. If you watch television or read the news at all, have any media exposure whatsoever, you will periodically hear something along the lines of millions of years ago. That's how it starts. Now, they can't predict the weather a day in advance, and they know something that happened 100 million years ago. They can't balance the national debt and the budget, and they know everything about 100 million years ago. You know, as an unbeliever, before I was saved, I never believed that. I thought, what do they know? I don't think a lot of people think that that's valid. It doesn't make sense. And to think that the world now is millions of years old, you think, why would somebody teach that? Why would somebody believe that? Because the rejection of creation by God is a rejection of God. And a rejection of God is a rejection of any accountability. You could have, and can give you names of people, you can study them. Here's a scientist, PhD, someone who's well-studied and believes in creation, believes the Bible to be the Word of God, And you have another PhD who's also well-trained and well-experienced and does not believe so. He believes the world has evolved from some lower life form and species. How can you have two people who have a PhD, who are well-trained, have a lot of experience, have such different opinions? Because one willingly has chosen not to accept the Word of God. And the problem is, they're not open to it. There is no debate. There is no discussion. Because they don't want to know. They have willingly chosen, I'm going to go this way. I can't accept the Bible. There, now what's left? What other possibilities are there? Maybe 25 years ago or so, I visited the Divinity School, Yale University. And I did so like an undercover agent. I pretended I was going to be a student. And I just wanted to see what they're doing and sit in some of the classes. And you know, it only took one visit to see what was going on. They thrilled in the idea the professor could actually read and write Hebrew. I mean, he was obviously well-trained and well-educated. But his attitude was, anybody that believes the Bible is the Word of God is ignorant. And he made fun of, as a Pentecostal student in the class, made fun of the Pentecostal student, made fun of the rapture, that whole idea. And I could see where they were going with this. Their joy, their elevating their knowledge, the whole idea was, how many philosophies can I come up with? How can I think of this possibility and that possibility? And that, and you could see it was a mental exercise showing how their mind could explore all kinds of possibilities and yet never come to a basic sense of the truth. You know, that's a standard that's flowed through our higher education systems. And I'm sorry, I don't intend to offend anybody. I went to Purdue University. My wife went to Indiana State University. I went to a public school. But I've never allowed my children to go, my grandchildren to go. We'll pay their way before that happens. Because it's changed. It's not what it was. It continues to evolve and it continues to change. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we have a Bible college. But there is a rejection of the Word of God. When you reject the flood, you reject the things of God, then you're not open to all possibilities. Cannot be taught even as a theory. It's always looked at as, this is a joke, this is crazy. And you see through the media, particularly in the last year or two, an arrogance, looking down at people that don't agree with them. And at all the, and you remember a new term developed 4 or 5 years ago, flyover country. You know what that means? People who don't live in the inner cities in the East and West Coast. Flyover country. People who hold on to God and guns. It is interesting that the sale of ammunition and guns has skyrocketed. It's just, why do people do that? Because there is a fear of those in charge. They're afraid. And, you know, we're seeing those things develop. So what we're seeing develop before our very eyes is really prophecy continuing to be fulfilled and manifested and rolled out before us. So they rejected creation. It says they are ignorant, willingly are ignorant of that by the Word of God. Verse 5, willingly ignorant of the Word of God. I don't know what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. They're scoffers. They're not just an unbeliever. Before I was saved, I was not a scoffer. I was not a skeptic. I was just an unbeliever. When I got saved, my heart changed. My mind changed. But these people are not like the average person out in society. They are in your face, and they are going after you and your beliefs. And, you know, anything that you hold on to the Bible, you know, that's fair game to them. They think you don't know anything because you're some Bible believer. These are the people that we see in education and politics in the news media and Hollywood, even sports now. It's become prevalent. So it is throughout the Western Hemisphere in particular, and in many ways throughout the whole world. The teaching of evolution has gone hand in hand with agnosticism and atheism. The fastest growing religious belief or philosophy today is humanism. Young people are coming out of school and they don't believe in God. They're even afraid to talk about it. They're scared of anything religious. That's what's happening. There is the elevation of education over truth. So what is the motive of these people that Peter is talking about? Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is powerful, it's alive, it's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God reveals even the very hearts of people. And in this prophecy, looking far ahead, the prophecy describes someone who is willfully lusting, going their own direction, doing what they want to do. The slogan a few years ago was, if it feels good, do it. And that's the permeating philosophy of our day. Not true of everyone, but it is a permeating philosophy. Turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, there was an obvious reference to the Jewish people and how they could only see the old covenant, but not the new. But when they opened their heart, you know, their will was changed, and they sought the truth, that veil was taken away. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, and so there is a veil over their eyes that they can't see the truth. Isn't it interesting how once you get saved, you look back at it and you say, how could I have been so blind? It's right there. How could I not see it? How could I not get it? But when you get saved, you see it. Why, the veil's taken away. But you see, they were not willing to do so. So the will is the difference between believers and unbelievers. Some have made a commitment to a certain philosophy of life, a materialistic, a humanistic, a lustful life, and they don't want to consider anything else. This is the way I'm going to live. Don't tell me how to live my life. I'm going to do my thing. And that's a philosophy that permeates a lot of people. Don't tell me anything else. And they're not open to, where did I come from? Why am I here? Is there a God? They're not even open to that. It's just gung-ho, I'm going to do what I want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I live my own life, do my own thing. So every man has a choice. And you can willingly choose whichever direction you want to go. But remember, there's a consequence to every choice that you make. And you see the consequences of a lot of people. Suicide, highest it's been. Look at the murders in our cities, in our streets, gang violence, drugs, alcohol abuse, broken homes, single parents, illnesses, diseases, all sorts. All these things are a result, not all of them, but many of those things are a result directly related to a person's willful disobedience. And you see the result of it. We see the ignorance of scoffers. Now, I wouldn't go up to the next PhD you find or go to your doctor or psychologist and say, you're ignorant. That's not a very good technique. They may be well educated and they might be offended at that. However, for your own benefit, just keep in mind they're human beings like everybody else. And they don't know everything. And if they're a scoffer, they are ignorant of certain things that are the most important things in life. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. There is an ignorance, which is a word agnoia in the Greek, which is basically without perception, without knowledge. They can't perceive all things. They can't see a clear picture of everything because their mind is clouded by their will choosing only one direction. If you know someone like that, maybe even a child that's wayward, don't stop praying for them, that God will take that veil away. Because God can change their heart. Don't give up on them. But this is what young people are going to face. This is where we're at. This is our society. But just keep in mind, everybody has their weakness. Everybody has their lack of knowledge. And people that claim to know everything, just remember, you don't know what you don't know. There are a lot of things that none of us understand or know. But it doesn't mean we can't know God. Amen. We can know Him. Romans 1 describes it this way in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And there is an explosion of that in the day in which we live. You know, not only are people living that way, they want you to celebrate the way they're living. It's not just, well, go do your thing. That's what you want to do. No. You've got to celebrate. You've got to support it. You've got to believe in it. That's where we are. Humanists are, by and large, proud of their knowledge. Look at my education. Look at what I know. And you see that arrogance come through in a lot of the news media that they know better. How many politicians? They know better how you can run your life. We'll take care of you. You know, there's always this fear. Someone comes to your home, they say, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. That's a big fear. Because they don't know any more than you know. But they're proud of their knowledge. That's the way they're described. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Some of the greatest scientists have been those that were believers. Some of the greatest leaders in our country and the founders of our country, believers in the Bible and the Word of God. And yet, we throw all that aside. We throw away all the history. Why? We go in our own direction because that's what we want to do. Following our sinful lust. Most skeptics are totally ignorant of the Bible. They might know some stories, maybe a little bit about the Bible, but they don't see how it goes together. They don't really know that much. Probably children in elementary school would know more Bible than most that say, oh, you know, I know everything. But little children would know more if they'd grown up in Sunday school. They don't know the overall theme of the Bible. They don't know how the books fit together. I remember witnessing to someone as a cult member, and, you know, it made it sound like they knew a lot of Scripture, but I asked them a simple question. I said, tell me, what is the theme of the book of Romans? Now, you might not come up with that just like that off your head, but if you've read the Bible, you'd have a pretty good idea. Here was their answer, God. Well, yeah, it's all about God for sure, but they had no idea. And our scoffers, they have no idea what the Bible teaches. One man said, if the Bible's true, how did they carry that huge ark across the Jordan River? Noah's Ark and the Ark of the Covenant, two different things. They didn't carry Noah's Ark over the Jordan River. They carried a different ark. I mean, that just shows their ignorance. One teacher was telling little Johnny, he said, now, the children of Israel, they didn't cross over the Red Sea in a deep part. They just waded across a little shallow area. And little Johnny said, praise God. I said, what do you mean? He said, look, God drowned all those people in a little shallow water. They never thought it through. because they don't want to think it through. Then this is the day in which we live. It's important for us to understand this because you need to know how to defend your faith. Amen. Young people, you need to know what you believe and where you stand because you're going to be living in a society like this. It's not going to change. It's going to be the society in which you live. They don't know the Bible. They don't know how it goes together. They don't know how to interpret it. They're really not familiar with why we believe the Bible and evidence of Scripture and the authentication of it. They don't understand the clear teaching of salvation. They don't understand God's love for them. So there are all these things they don't have any understanding of. That's why you don't have to be a PhD. Just give them the Romans Road. Tell them John 3:16. That's all you have to give them. Give them the plan of salvation. Scoffers and skeptics have their faith. You know, they believe in certain things. There was a book written that's a really good read, too. I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And it takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. How can you say something doesn't exist? How do you know? How can you prove the lack of its existence? I mean, you could have to say, well, there's a possibility maybe, but from all I know, I can't see that it's true. But no, you say, oh, there is no God. You can't say that. You don't know that. You know, the exact opposite is true. People who are skeptics blindly follow the teaching they received without questioning it, and the exact opposite is true. They say, oh, these people are just blindly follow the Bible. Well, they blindly follow their educators. They don't question them, and there's more questions about them than about following the Bible. They believe everything came from nothing. And how did it start? It came from nothing. I don't know. It just Big Bang. Life came from non-life. Intelligence came from non-intelligence. Great intelligence, a product of small intelligence. I mean, it takes some faith to believe the things that they believe. And that the world is millions of years old when we don't have any evidence of society beyond the Akkadian-Sumerian society, which was somewhere around 4,000 years B.C. 4,000 is not 100 million. Big difference. They don't know, so they hold on to these things that don't make sense. And in fact, you can disprove all the evolutionary theories by evolutionists themselves because they don't agree with one another. It's just an exercise in futility. So as we think about, they have a faith, but it's in themselves. There's a faith in their mind and education. And they have an undeserved opportunity. There's a book that contains 70 men and women with PhDs. They're trained in hard science, and yet they believed in a literal six-day creation in a worldwide flood. The book is Testimonies of Scientists Who Believe the Bible. So it's possible to be well-educated and believe the Bible. A skeptic can be saved, and that opportunity is open for them. And don't be afraid. Just give them the truth. You don't have to argue science. Just tell them they're a sinner and that Christ loves them and died for them. They can be saved. The salvation plan does not change. Go down to verse 7, 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. There is a destiny of skeptics that's not pleasant. There is a day of judgment that's coming. And the only reason it hasn't come yet is because our God is a compassionate and a loving God. And He has delayed in order that men might get saved. So a skeptic can be saved. Some of you were skeptics. Some of you were scoffers. And you got saved and your whole perspective changed. So anyone can be saved, just give them the gospel. And we have to realize that they're not all lost cause, that some of them, their lives can be changed by the word of God. But in the midst of this change in our culture, it just verifies the truth of the word of God. 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, it was predicted these last days would be like they are. And there's a comparison of the days of Noah and the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we see that comparison, that it's right before our eyes. It just, wow, look at what's in the Bible. It's like picking up the newspaper. It is true. It is the Word of God. So it verifies for us the Word of God. Secondly, it reminds us that God is long-suffering. You wonder, why would He save you and me? He was patient. He loved us in spite of our sin, our selfishness. We do have a good, a long-suffering God. And time is no factor for Him. It goes on to say that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. Now look, I'll give you one thought. I can't prove this, and I'm not sure if I believe it. Maybe I do. I'm not sure. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's not true. If you take if you consider the world being roughly 6,000 years from creation, there's 1,000 years left, the 1,000-year millennium, that the number 7 is so prevalent through Scripture. If you gave 1,000 years to each period of time, that means soon the Lord's coming back because 1,000 years are left. So you could go back to creation, would be 6,000 years ago. If you follow Usher's chronology, all that would be true. He hasn't come back yet, but that's interesting that you take 1,000 days and put 7 along with it, and it puts us right at that time. Now, I can't prove that, and no one's going to prove it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the case. We are living in that time. So our God is long-suffering, and He is waiting for people to be saved, but someday judgment is coming. This prophecy will be fulfilled that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and then it's too late. Anybody ever see that film years ago, Thief in the Night? It had a wide circulation, and that was very interesting to think one day people are going to wake up, and the news media says there are millions of people missing. We don't know what happened to them. And they're going to come up with some plausible explanation. Some world leader will have, here's what we're going to do. I'm in control. And everybody say, all right, what do you want us to do? And they'll all fall in line. State of emergency. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't get gas without having the mark of the beast. The Christians are gone there. It's called the rapture of the church. Amen. The catching away of the bride of Christ. Someday that's going to happen. And it's going to be too late for anybody to be caught up in the rapture. Now, there'll be people saved during the tribulation period. 7 years of suffering here on this earth, many become martyrs. But when a person dies, it's too late. You can't change, can't make a different decision. When that day comes, it's too late. When the doors were closed to the Noah's Ark, it was too late. And someday that door will be closed for someone. Either they die, and someday now they'll stand before God, it's too late. It's important to make that decision before it's too late. It's important to be sure you're saved. Young people, I know you're in a point in your life where you're making decisions. You better make the right decision about that, because you're not guaranteed what's going to happen in the future. And so as a Christian, we can stand against this. We need to expect it. There's going to be scoffers and skeptics. Just bear in mind, they don't know everything. Don't be intimidated because, oh, they have this education. Maybe they use bigger words than you use. Don't be intimidated. Just hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to the Bible. Continue, as you have, to serve the Lord. And as we see this day progress, we don't know every detail. We don't know specifically how it'll affect us individually, but we know the tendency of the day, the trend, the culture, the philosophy, and it permeates certainly the Western world and most of the known world. Probably that's not going to change. Therefore, we better stand. We better know what you believe. You better know how to defend your faith, why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's called apologetics. You're not making an apology, but you're letting people know, here's what I believe, here's why I believe it. Have every reason to believe the Bible is true. And those that just blindly follow those professors, that follow the professors, that follow their professors, you'd be better off to think it through. And if you're willingly open, let the Bible guide and direct you. It'll show you. If your heart is open, I believe God will reveal to you who He is and that the Word of God is true. Suddenly, 200 years ago, there was not an enlightenment that suddenly people now know, here's everything about the world, where it came from. Just the opposite. People with animosity who want to live selfishly in their own lust have taken control under the no doubt, the influence of Satan unconsciously, and this has permeated our society. As a Christian, we live in exciting times. We have the opportunity, just about everybody you see, you know they're lost. They're a possible person to get saved. I mean, they may trust the Lord as their Savior. I mean, we can give them the truth. They've not heard it. They don't know anything about the gospel. Very few, particularly in our part of the country. People are Bible ignorant. You know, you've heard the term, the Bible Belt. You can go to the South and people are ignorant down there too. They may know about church, but they don't know about the Bible. We live in a biblically illiterate society today where it was not true even 50 years ago, but it's true today. That's an opportunity. Take the Bible and show them something they don't know. Here's the Word of God. And you have this, this on your side. You know, God's with you. You know you have the truth. Just give them the Word of God. Let God do that work in their heart, and God will do that work. Let's bow for prayer.